Well, from the end of September to November 6th, pro-life activists in our area and across the U.S. will stand together in prayerful, peaceful support for the most vulnerable. And while the Dobbs case has allowed states to make restrictions on abortion, well, there's still a lot of work to be done here in Oregon and Washington. Well, this year, as part of the 40 Days for Life campaign, Steve Carlin, the campaign director, will be making a stop in the area to lend his support and inspiration. And Steve, he's joining me today. Good morning, Steve. Thanks so much for joining the Morning Blend.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. It's a blessing to be with you.
Well, as the area, we gear up for this two times a year, but throughout the year, many people stand vigil here in Portland and around the area. This 40 Days for Life fall campaign is upon us soon. Kind of share with our listeners about how you became involved in the pro-life movement and 40 Days for Life.
Sure. It's a long story. I'll give you the consolidated version here. I'm one of those Americans, like I think the majority of our fellow Americans, who has always been pro-life, but for much of my life, I never did anything about it. And I don't know, maybe I was lazy, maybe I didn't know what I could do to make a difference, but I just hadn't really done anything. And then I was a newlywed and my wife had a friend who shared with her that she was pregnant, but don't worry about it. She said she was planning to get an abortion. And that was sort of a wake-up call to me. It was the first time that this issue of abortion became more than an issue. It became a crisis, a reality, something that actually intersected with my life in a real way. And so my wife reached out and offered all kinds of help to her friend and empowered her to choose life. She decided she'd keep her baby. She picked out a name. And then it was a doctor who pressured that young woman right back into an abortion decision. And that broke my heart. It broke my wife's heart. And it was a reminder to me, or at least an awakening, that I couldn't just sit on the couch watching football all the time. I had to get up and do something. And that's right about the time that 40 Days for Life was launching nationwide, you know, this vigil all day, every day, praying in front of the facilities where abortions are performed and where they're bought and sold for 40 straight days, 40 days of community outreach, 40 days of prayer and of fasting. And so I got involved basically like many others did, because abortion sort of touched my life, intersected with my life personally, and I knew I couldn't be silent about it anymore.
Well, Steve, now that you have been involved with 40 Days for Life, we didn't know if that day would ever come, but the Dobbs case that was recently settled by the Supreme Court, well, that really changed a lot. How has 40 Days for Life shifted since that time?
Well, I would say, unfortunately, and unfortunately for those who are listening, it's pushed us even further toward the coasts. We see certain parts of the country, certainly the Deep South and closer to you in Idaho, there are certain places that are restricting or even prohibiting abortion. But the coasts, the Northeast and the West Coast, have certainly sort of gone all in to try to become what they call abortion sanctuaries, to fund abortion, to make abortion as legal as possible, to take any restrictions of it away. And so we've really seen more campaigns popping up on the West Coast and in the Northeast. So it's important for us. I think it's a great opportunity, even in states that have pro-abortion laws in place. We at least now can look at Roe and say, well, it's the law of the land. What are you going to do about it? We have retained or received back the power that we have as people in this representative democracy to be able to do something about it. And so I think that's where it becomes very critical for us to do outreach. We have to make the case, and we've had opportunities to make the case in defense of life. The abortion industry has not been shy at all about going on television, on social media, on radio. Everywhere you look, you see the abortion industry with these tragic stories of women who they say need abortions. I think that puts the ball back in our court to explain that there's no woman that needs an abortion. When we look at a woman in crisis and tell her, I'm sorry, the best we can do for you is we're going to take your money and we're going to kill your baby, that's not good enough. It sends a message, not just to that woman, but the entire world, that there's no hope. And so I think that's really what we are now, is we are purveyors of hope. We're going to the most hopeless places in our world and bringing the light of Christ and saying, you don't have to do this today.
Well, those here in the Portland area and also in Southwest Washington, in Salem, in Eugene, we are the messengers of hope, and many will be joining in the 40 Days for Life fall campaign. You know, Steve, you will be here on October 10th. You'll be at Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church, and you're going to be there as a pro-life apologetics, because you're going to kind of help people who may be hesitant, who maybe haven't stood vigil before, or maybe they have, but they want to kind of bolster and really be able to answer those questions. Kind of tell our listeners about your book and what you're presenting on the 10th of October.
Sure. Sean Carney, the president and CEO of 40 Days for Life, and I, the two of us, we spent our COVID writing this book, What to Say When, The Complete New Guide to Discussing Abortion. And we really wrote it because we're in this brave new world now. The arguments that are used to justify abortion, I think, have changed. I think in some cases they've gotten more absurd. We're not talking about safe, legal, and rare anymore. We're talking about my body, my choice, and I'm going to shout my abortion and wear the t-shirt that says I had an abortion. And I think that most people of goodwill sort of just instinctively or intuitively know that abortion is wrong. There's never a reason why you would need to kill an innocent baby. But at the same time, when you get drawn into these conversations, the other side has kind of these bizarre arguments, you know, well, what happened if it's a left-handed baby and the mother's got diabetes, and you start to lose track of it and your head begins to spin, and pro-lifers they don't always have the confidence. And so we wrote this book, and I'm coming to give this talk in Portland on October 10th to just try to empower pro-lifers to have confidence talking about abortion. We are not the ones that need to be on our heels saying things like, well, you know, I'm pro-life, but I'm a reasonable, you know, you kind of hear like the I'm pro-life, but, because we want to sound as though we are reasonable people. And what this book does, and what we hope to do on October 10th, is to give pro-lifers the confidence to say, like, I'm pro-life because we know that life begins at conception. It's a scientific reality. There are a lot of reasons why we should not be the ones that are feeling like we're on our heels or playing defense.
Well, you can all participate October 10th when Steve joins us. We can all also participate on the 17th of September. It is the 40 Days for Life opening mass. It's happening at St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception right here in Portland. Bishop Peter Smith will be presiding along with Monsignor Gerard O'Connor. That mass begins at 5:30. And of course, at Our Lady of the Lakes at 6:30 on October 10th. Well, Steve, you know, we talked about how heartbreaking when we hear these stories of women who initially go in for the abortion, but then, well, they have second thoughts only to be pressured back into it. Those are stories that are so devastating, and we pray for these women. But at the same time, there are great stories of hope and success from people who are going to be on the streets praying. Maybe share with our listeners some stories that you've heard that make you remember that, yes, you are on the side of life, that you are going to stand with those in need.
One of my favorite stories is from all the way across the country in Wilmington, Delaware. This is the city in the U.S. which has the highest per capita abortion rate in the entire country. And there was a couple that went in for a prenatal visit to their doctor to see the growth and the progress and the development of their baby boy, who was 20 weeks along gestation. And the doctor walked into that ultrasound room and he said, he's got some bad news. He said their baby had a very serious disability. And he told this couple to get an abortion, you know, just go home, have an abortion, start over, try again. Maybe you'll have better luck next time. And the husband didn't want any part of the abortion, but his wife bought the fear that the doctor was selling. She scheduled an abortion appointment and he spent the next few days just begging her to cancel this abortion appointment. But she wouldn't listen to him. And finally, the day of this abortion appointment came to pass. They woke up that morning and he begged her one last time, honey, we can do this. I'm going to be there with you every step of the way. Just give our son a chance at life. But again, she wouldn't listen to him. But she was so abortion determined that she got out her phone. She used it to call the police and to provide her with a police escort to Planned Parenthood to have that abortion. And as that car drove up, she looked out the window and she saw just a small handful of people on the street corner, standing there praying for her baby, praying for all of the moms and babies that were in need that morning. She looked out the window and she said, oh my God, those people are praying the rosary. I can't go through with this. And I love that story because, you know, so hardened was her heart that she called the police, but so powerful is our Lord that the mere sight of people praying for her changed her mind, it changed her heart. And a few months later, she gave birth to a little baby boy who was, by the way, born completely healthy with no disability whatsoever. And you and I know, and hopefully the listeners all know, that whether that little boy had a disability or not does not change his value in the eyes of God. No. And it shouldn't in our eyes either. But it's sort of a sign of the hope that can be brought into a hopeless situation when we simply go out and stand and pray. It's that simple.
Well, you can stand in vigil at this year's 40 Days for Life. It begins the end of September, goes all the way to November 6th. Now, there will be vigil sites in Southwest Washington, around the Portland area, including Beaverton, and of course, down south in Salem and also Eugene. You can find more information on the 40 Days for Life webpage. Well, Steve, I really appreciate your time. We're really looking forward to your visit on October 10th. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And again, that is Steve Carlin. He is the campaign director for 40 Days for Life. On the podcast of this interview, I'm going to add links that you can get all the information about Steve, 40 Days for Life. Perhaps you'd like to purchase in advance that pro-life apologetics book that Steve was talking about. I'm going to add those links to the podcast of this interview. You're going to find it at materdeiradio.com and, of course, the Hail Mary media app.